Hiya, my name is Melissa Topping. I'm in the East Bristol unlivable neighbourhood. And what's been going on here for way too long is the council are constantly attacking us.
Well, in what way?
With trying to install a bus gate on Avonvale Road, with planters blocking our roads. They have not been listening to the majority of the residents at all. We've been trying to understand why we're being imprisoned against our will and continue to be unheard. But this is not a livable neighbourhood. It's a direct failure of community design, adhesion, spending of money, and a failure to the most vulnerable people and local businesses in the most deprived area of Bristol.
Right, well, they've been blocking off roads. This seems to be, the part of this, and also, but I mean, they're not really imprisoning you, Melissa, surely. I mean, it just means you have to go a tortuous route. Say if you want to go down the road, you have to go in. If you're in a vehicle, you have to go in the wrong direction around the houses. Maybe take you 10 or 15 minutes to get just down the road.
Yes, that's true, but for a disabled person that's already in a lot of pain before they leave their house, any extra minutes sat in a car are more pain when you reach the destination. Even just to reach our GP surgery, we now have to do a 2 mile detour. It's not right.
What about the, large vehicles like fire engines, buses? I mean, it's not going to be that easy for them necessarily, this.
No, definitely not. We've got lots of evidence of huge, large vehicles having to reverse, fire engines stuck the other side of planters when there's a fire they can't get to. We've watched ambulances and fire engines having to do ridiculous maneuvers in the tiniest spaces to leave an incident. It's been unbelievable. The buses are constantly clashing on Avonvale Road because there is not enough space up there for the buses that they've got there. None of it makes any sense whatsoever. It's like they're trying to fracture the community.
Well, look,
And to a disabled
the
person,
council will say that people around there that support this.
there may be a few, yes. There may be a few very able-bodied people out there that are very capable of jumping on a bike and going for a cycle in their lunch hour whilst they work from home, because that's what's happening. It's not being used as a commuter route. People haven't increased their cycling to get to work. They're still in a car to get to work. They're just using different roads. The roads we've got now are now being used like it's Tour de France.
So what's the latest developments here? Because there's been sort of contradictory things in the local papers, and on the TV. It seemed to say, well, the council are kind of reining back on some of this, but they're in other ways carrying on. So what can you bring us up to date?
So basically, they've decided on changes to the scheme. The consultation that they held relating to those changes had a response of 286 people, 246 of whom were against this and just wanted it all removed. And they've gone with 32 that supported it. So what they're trying to do currently is move the bus gate to right outside Hamblin's front door, the fish and chip shop that they are already strangling with this scheme.
Well, we've already seen businesses across the city actually collapse because of the Clean Air Zone, which taxes about a third or a quarter of all the vehicles that come through. It's basically a toll,
Yeah.
and various long-standing family businesses have had to close because of that. But where's the money coming from for this? Is it just local council taxpayers, or is there government money showering down on Bristol City Council to bribe them to do these roadblocks?
This seems to be what it comes down to. Yes, it's that coming down to the funding. They seem to have been given all this CRSTS money from
What does that
WECA
stand
and
for?
government. Blah, blah, blah. City Regional Sustainable Transport.
Right. So what they mean by that, really, central government, is they want people cycling around. You can't do
They
that when
do.
it's windy and rainy, or if you're a pensioner.
Or if you're disabled, no,
No.
that's what they want. But the DfT own latest publicized survey states that cycling is actually down on a whole over the country. So it's not improving, it's not going up by these schemes.
Well, it
And
sounds to
at the
me
end of the
like
day, they're putting all this funding into cycling, yet in Bristol alone, 19.1% of people are registered disabled. Only 2.4% cycle daily. Why is all the funding going to that 2.4%?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they're trying to turn British cities into gyms. And of course, those gyms are only for the able. I mean, it does sound to me like they've mislabeled this money. It's really able-bodied transport policy, isn't it?
It is, yes, very much so. Very much so. They're not putting any of it into improving the public transport. So the people that can get out of their cars and onto public transport do. You know, they're literally just blocking off, closing off roads everywhere to enable new cycleways. That is all they're doing with millions and millions of pounds.
What about direct action down there? What's been taking place?
We've been coming out pretty much daily. We've stopped them installing the bus gate outside of Hamblin so far, in pieces, sadly. They do keep sneaking in and doing a little bit here and a little bit there. The camera is up, the road is painted red, but there is still no bus gate words on the road. They can't start fining people until those words are on the road.
Yeah, because they have a bit of a disadvantage, the council, is they are, a mile, a couple of miles away, whereas this is where people live. I just, what concerns me is, for example, when you see a bus gets stuck or has to reverse, this is has a massive knock-on effect, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yep. The vehicles stuck behind it have to reverse as well. And we keep also being told that these new bus gate roads are going to enable the emergency services to reach call outs quicker. Well, it turns out if that fire engine is stuck behind a bus, it's got no chance.
No, and also I know there's been a few collisions too. But look, there is a vision here. The council will say we actually want people to sell their cars, get rid of their cars.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, but that's not practical in everyday life now. You know, if they actually tried the lived experience of what we're having to live with, they would realize if they were in pain 24/7 and could not walk and could not get on a bicycle and needed their support network, maybe they would understand what they're doing to people.
Well, look, Melissa, I don't want to give too much away, but you and I are old enough to remember the days when there were nowhere near as many cars around, actually. In fact, in the 1960s, I can remember looking down the street and seeing about two or three cars down there. So, isn't it the actual answer, which was very, very good in those days and cheap and reliable, was public transport? What is the public transport actually like? Is it affordable? Is it reliable?
It's not affordable. It's not reliable. All the buses that reach where we are, by the time they reach here on their way into the city, they're all full. So everyone waiting at the bus stop is then left to wait for the next one. All the buses that leave the city going out towards Troopers Hill are always full by the time they reach here. So again, anyone waiting at the bus stop here is left to wait for the next bus. If it turns up, we have a lot of ghost buses in East Bristol. They just don't turn up. They just don't appear.
Right, so they appear there on the bus stop, bus in 5 minutes, but 5 minutes later they disappear and no bus was there.
That's right. Yep.
Well, it's easy to
So, yeah.
laugh, but I mean, the bus company will say, look, we need to make sure these buses are full. We need bums on seats.
Well, I think that's why they're removing the number 16 bus. I mean, they only put that one on because they were closing Marsh Lane with a bus gate, and we stated you can't have a bus gate on a road where there is no bus. So they invented the number 16, and now they've removed Marsh Lane bus gate, and the number 16 is disappearing in July.
Well, that sounds bizarre. Why have they done that?
You tell us, you tell us. There is no rhyme nor reason nor sense to anything that they have done. It is literally like living in a circus full of clowns.
God. Well, look, you obviously have two or three councillors for Barton Hill for your local area. What about conversations that you've had with them?
Sadly, Yassine has been missing since prior to March the 13th at 3 a.m. We haven't seen him. We haven't had a reply to an email from him. Shona was being quite helpful as far as
What's the significance of
replying.
that? What's the significance of that date?
That's when the council arrived at 3 a.m. in the morning with police security drones and a helicopter to install the unlivable neighbourhood.
Well, what about your other councillors? That one's disappeared.
Yep, Shona was being quite receptive to us. She was re replying, responding, but she is fully on board with the scheme. She's a Green Party councillor, and they are all just fully on board with getting everybody out of their cars, although they themselves drive. So I don't quite understand it, to be honest.
Are there other parts of the country where this has happened, where the community's been able to deal with it and get the roads open?
There are, yeah, there's quite a lot. A few of them, places, for instance, like Exeter, Heavytree, it was the councillors that said, this is wrong, we need to take this out, and they did it there. Other places in the country, Lambeth and Croydon, have taken it to court and both have won. Thankfully, we do have the same barrister as Croydon had to remove their six LTNs. So Kevin is currently in receipt of everything that we've had over the last 2 years, every piece of evidence or non-evidence, as we should say, because it turns out there is no evidence towards the justification for putting this in. We don't know where the evidence is that they put in for the business case to apply for the original funding. It is not available anywhere.
Okay, so I mean, the thing is, of course, let's get back to the original story, really, which is it seems that the central government is basically bribing Bristol City Council to do this. Now, it is tempting, you must see, from the council's point of view, to take the money.
Yeah, but as I said to them at the very beginning of this, if they were offered £7.5 million to go out and kill every elderly or disabled person in Bristol, would they still take that money?
Well, look, Melissa, maybe if people are interested in following this, whereabouts are good places to do that?
Online currently, we've got a Facebook page. Where we update with everything that's happening, the legal challenge so far, which we can't start until they try to make it permanent, which we're hoping, at the moment, our prayers are all going to the five councillors that have the opportunity to stop this in July.
And are there any voices at Bristol City Council in support of the community there?
Yes, we've got a few. Tom Renard is fully supporting the community. Mark Weston is fully supporting us. Nicholas Coombs has been and spoken to us and can see the devastation. Tim Rippington is also being very helpful. So yes, we have got councillors that do understand and do see that this is the wrong area to have tried to force this into. You know, this is one of the most deprived areas of Bristol, and they put three bus gates in it. They've taken over £420,000 from one of the most deprived areas in Bristol in 10 months.
But how do you mean they've taken this money from you? How have they done that?
Via the bus gates and the fines and people needing to access their GP surgery.
Amazing.
And church, this is churchgoers, funeral attendees, wedding guests. People trying to get to the local chip shop. This isn't your, people driving around in Mercs that just don't care.
Amazing. I mean, it's quite horrifying, really. Anyway, so with this latest busgate, I think we've seen a little bit more direct action, and it may not happen. Who knows? But anyway, Melissa, thanks very much for joining us.
That's okay. Can I just mention we are also having a meeting on June the 18th to show all the evidence we've collected so far, hopefully to a few councillors, but to all of the campaign group to give a final push before July. So 7 p.m. at the Board Mills on June the 18th.
So, what's happening in July?
July the 9th, the Transport Committee are having a vote on whether to keep and make this permanent or scrap it. So that's basically what we're aiming
Yeah,
for.
so, do you go to these council meetings? Can you go to them?
Yes, I've had to learn a whole new set of skills. We've been going to the council meetings for over 2 years now. We've been submitting statements, we've been submitting questions that we do not get any answers to. It's draining, it's frustrating, and it's heartbreaking, to be honest, that they can treat a community this way. I mean, they've actually admitted with the latest BDEF report on SBLN that the
Sorry, can you,
infrastructure,
what do they stand for?
SBLN is the new South Bristol livable neighbourhood that they're trying to bring in at the moment. But the proof is in the paperwork, and if the foundational framework of a livable neighbourhood is now acknowledged by the council to be flawed, exclusionary, and harmful to protected characteristics without extensive pre-trial co-design, then the EBLN trial, which lacked all of these critical safeguards, cannot legally or equitably be made permanent.
Amazing. And look, what about, we've got a council leader, Tony Dyer,
Yeah.
green guy. The obvious thing to do here is to make sure that public transport is really good, really cheap, really reliable, and then people will get
Yeah.
rid of their cars anyway. What does he say to that?
Tony Dyer doesn't say anything, funnily enough. He says nothing at all. Helen Godwin, the Wecker Mayor, she is understanding of all of this, and she can see that the public transport needs addressing before anything else. Although on this one with the EBLN, her hands are currently tied.
Oh, right. Oh, well, why is that?
I'm not too sure. I don't know whether it's because the funding has already been given, so therefore she can't do anything until they try to make it permanent. She is currently carrying out an independent, well, she's commissioned an independent review of the EBLN, which also comes out in July. So we're hoping that that proves to the council how they've done everything so wrongly.
Amazing. Let's see. The Greens here might be a bit like Brighton, where they last for one term and then the people say no, thank you very much. So this community meeting you're doing is Thursday, June the 18th, 7 p.m. at the Board Mills Social Club in Avonvale Road.
That's right, yes.
Melissa, thanks very much for joining us.
That's okay. Thank you for having me along, Tony.